This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. This summer, WILL held community conversations on the economy in Champaign, Macon, and Vermilion counties. And we're turning what we heard in those conversations into special programs and reports. On the program today, on this program, we'll talk about financial health in tough times. We'll talk about debt and money management with three guests: attorney Valerie McWilliams of the Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation, University of Illinois Extension educator Kathy Swedler, and Mitchell Allen, author of A Survival Guide to Debt. To begin this afternoon, I want to share a story with you. It's a report from one of our news reporters, Tom Rogers. Now, let me get that introduction out here. Organizations that help the poor in East Central Illinois are giving out more and more assistance, but there may be many people who, for some reason or another, haven't made that call for help. In the latest of our series of stories in connection with the outreach project, We'll Connect the Economy, AM 580's Tom Rogers introduces us to people who decided to make the leap and reach out for aid, and people who encourage others to do so.
Robert Buchan and his fiancée Amanda Chapon say they have it pretty good, considering the circumstances. Buchan now has a home of his own. Even if it is older, it sat empty for more than a year. Their neighborhood in Decatur is rather rough, and he's still getting calls from creditors.
When I seen the original woodwork and everything, I was like, wow, $9,900. Let's do this.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
State finance.
I'll call them back in a minute.
Real good deal. You're getting used to those, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when they hike their rates up.
How often do they call?
Oh, seven or eight times a day.
Yeah, I'd say four, but he's about right. I'd be nice.
Buchan and Chapon are currently unemployed, but they're managing, with Buchan doing an odd job or two and getting disability income. But Buchan admits they need some additional help to keep them and their two kids fed and clothed. That's why next week will probably mean another trip to Catholic Charities and Northeast Community Fund.
Yeah, I don't like to go there unless we absolutely need it because, you know, it's, to me, unless we have to have it, it's taken from somebody else.
Everything out there in front is free clothes, free clothing.
Jerry Pell says Robert Buchan's hesitance is not unique. He manages Northeast, which has distributed groceries and clothing from its storefront north of downtown Decatur for more than 40 years.
The first words out of their mouths would be, I've never had to do this before, or something like, I've usually been on the other end. I've been giving to something like this most of my life, and now I never thought I would be the one that, you know, would have to be accessing something like this.
The best thing to do, Pell says, is to make clients feel comfortable.
And the other thing, I think, is just say something to them like, well, you know, when you get back on your feet again, you know, it's always okay to come back in and start donating again. And I think that makes them feel better and just gives them a way of maybe feeling better about accepting what is there to be given.
Like in this, there's three cans of soup, three cans of vegetables, a can of tuna.
Gary Kleckner has decided to give back even as he receives from Rantoul's Community Services Center. He helps man the food pantry there, and he's still tithing to his church, even from his unemployment check. Some of those contributions come back to him.
First, you know, you feel a little bit guilty because, you know, you've been able to support yourself and everything. But then you stop and think, I've got to eat, and I don't have nothing coming in, and that's what it's here for.
It's been 8 months since Kleckner last worked. Last year, he left his pizza job of 20 years for more reliable hours, packaging roasts at Rantoul's Meadowbrook Farms pork plant. It shut down suddenly, leaving Kleckner and scores of other people looking for work in a town with few openings.
My name's Emily Federer.
Likewise, Emily wasn't expecting to need assistance either. She's a college graduate, but a broken relationship and a career change left her with less income, shouldering mortgage payments alone on a large old house in Sydney. She also says it was tough to ask for help, but she found that help.
In church, I'm part of a women's community in town, and my friends took me in and helped me, helped me recover from the breakup and then helped me kind of brainstorm about how to make things work again.
Federer had to short sell her house, but she's now in a new relationship and working as a nursing assistant. She says the experience has put a lot more coping tools in her toolbox. Adding to that list of personal resources is what a peer counseling program does back in Decatur. It came about as one of Decatur's biggest employers, Caterpillar, laid off nearly 1,200 workers last winter. Some had never been through job loss, including Casey Peterson and Wanda Purcell. But now they're working in the local unemployment facility in a makeshift office. Peterson and Purcell help fellow CAT workers and others find food or utility help and muddle through unfamiliar terrain.
Now a lot of these companies, it doesn't matter what particular job you're applying for them. They want an online application and a resume, and they want it uploaded, and a lot of these people aren't familiar enough with doing that because it's really taken
a turn
in the last 5 years.
They're not familiarized with the computer.
Purcell says their biggest obstacle is communication. She says most laid-off workers find out about peer counseling by word of mouth. And when they find out help is available, she says they're eager to take advantage of it. That's what Dashai McCoy had to acknowledge when she returned from Indianapolis to Decatur with her two children to care for a sick mother. We talked inside a McDonald's, a place she wouldn't mind working in for the time being, even if it doesn't fit her job skills.
In Indianapolis, I wasn't dependent on nobody. But here, it's like I have to depend on the state, food pantries, whatever I can, any kind of assistance I can get.
Like Emily Federer, McCoy was also a nursing assistant. Now that she's back in Decatur, where she grew up, things have been tougher, and she had to fight her misgivings to call for assistance.
I was arguing with myself, telling myself, no, this ain't even worth it. And then I had to realize what was important to me. I mean, I want to give up plenty of times. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. But I did it. No regrets. None at all. No.
Next up for Dashai, try to get back into school to get her Illinois nursing certification, or even to try something new. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
If you're on the fence about seeking assistance, you're not alone. The recession is hitting many of us, but there is help. This summer, WILL held community conversations in Champaign, Macon, and Vermilion counties. We're turning what we learned into special reports and programs to connect you to helpful resources. You'll find them here on AM 580 and on our website, a special website for this very project, willconnect.org/economy. And we thank our community partners, First Call for Help Decatur, United Way of Danville, Family Service of Champaign County, and Community Service Center Rantoul. The report we heard this afternoon leads into our discussion in this hour of the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking today about financial health in tough times. Often this summer, we've heard how a little help is a big help. It can stretch the money people have in their pockets, helping them pay bills and put food on the table. And we thought it would be helpful to talk about money, dealing with creditors, getting out of debt, as well as strategies for saving. Three guests are with us this afternoon to answer our questions. They are an attorney for the Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation, Valerie McWilliams, University of Illinois Extension educator, Kathy Swedler, and Mitchell Allen, co-founder and president of Debt Education and Certification Foundation, and the author of A Survival Guide to Debt. Listeners, your questions are invited this afternoon. Maybe you have an experience you'd like to share with us. Join us with a phone call. The number's in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. So to Valerie McWilliams and Kathy Swedler and Mitchell Allen, good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Mitchell's on the phone with us, and Valerie and Kathy are with me in the studio. So let's shout out first to Mitchell Allen. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fine. And you?
Oh, exceptionally well. Thank you.
Okay, very good. And next, we'll hear from Valerie. Hello.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And Kathy Swedler.
Good afternoon.
Okay. So now I would like to know from the three of you your impressions of what we heard in Tom Rogers' report. And one of the things that I'm reminded of in Tom's report is something Mitchell Allen calls the Big Four, the reasons we get into trouble. Unexpected expenses, bad financial habits, job loss, grave illness, divorce, or death. What did the three of you hear and take away from the story we heard from Tom Rogers?
Well, I took away from it something that Freddie Mac had a report on, that more than 60% of delinquent homeowners are not aware of the programs and services that their mortgage lenders had to offer, and that there are educational programs out there and there are ways to get back on your feet, but you have to ask for them and get over either the embarrassment or maybe just not even knowing about those programs, that you really have to communicate with your creditors.
Okay.
Well, what I was hearing was this underlying current that we have a culture that values self-sufficiency and independence, and it can be very difficult for people to ask for help. And in some sense, it's added to the problem that people have of living on this debt treadmill, because they try to come up with counterproductive solutions that are available in the marketplace, things like high-interest loans, maybe to help them get through a temporary shortfall that then creates a much worse situation, sometimes using credit cards to try to tide them through something. And so if people were more open about the struggles that they're having and had a group of people, a community that they could ask for help from, they might have an easier time getting back on their feet.
Yeah. Kathy Sweetler is nodding her head.
Yeah, I would second what Valerie was just saying, and to really encourage people that if they can see that they're going to have trouble managing their costs right now, to try to be very proactive and seek help as soon as they can. We know from research that the sooner somebody can seek help and kind of reformulate their budget and their situation, then the easier it'll be down the road for them.
Next, I'd like to ask a couple of basic questions of the three of you in terms of what help you offer. Valerie, Kathy, would you tell us about your work and the help that's available through Extension and through Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation?
Well, University of Illinois Extension has several different kinds of programs and workshops and websites that are really designed to reach out to people and provide them with unbiased, objective information so they can then, you know, make decisions that work best for them. One website that we have up right now that's really designed for this time is called Getting Through Tough Financial Times, and it's available at toughtimes.illinois.edu. Lots of great resources there. We've also have some local efforts, too. For example, in Champaign County, we have a program called Money Mentors, which is designed to really set up people on a one-to-one basis with volunteer mentors to look at their finances, maybe help them with organizing them and setting some goals.
Okay. Valerie McWilliams?
Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance provides free civil, not criminal, legal assistance to low-income people in the southern 65 counties of Illinois. And in the Champaign office, we serve 14 counties, so we're a regional office. And the bulk of what we do is respond to incoming requests for assistance in a wide variety of civil matters. And debt is really an issue. Sometimes it's the thing that people call about. They're being hounded by creditors, and they want help with a bankruptcy today, which we don't usually give them or provide them assistance for. Struggling with medical debt, it's also a huge factor even just in the divorce cases that we have and domestic violence cases where people are economically dependent on their partner. It can become a real problem in terms of helping people move forward. So we see it in all the cases that we work on.
Do you offer any educational outreach?
We also offer some classes, and we actually have a variety of programs that are intended to try to help people build assets and do future planning instead of just being reactive to the things that are happening to them. For example, right after Labor Day, for 6 weeks on Thursday nights, we're going to be having a pre-purchase home ownership class where we hope to give people good information before they buy a house so that they have a better understanding of what kind of house that they can afford and what kind of house they can sustain ownership over the long haul.
Okay, and now to Mitchell Allen. What's your background and how did you come to write a survival guide to debt?
It's an interesting background. I started out after grad school working for a credit card company that then got bought up by a much bigger credit card company. I won't give the name out. and developed statistical models there that helped predict risk and response. Then I went and did some consulting and started a company that consulted with bankruptcy law firms across the country. And then in 2005, bankruptcy laws changed dramatically with the Bankruptcy Abuse Prevention and Consumer Protection Act of 2005. And with that, educational requirements were added to the bankruptcy process. Before you file bankruptcy and then before you get out of bankruptcy or get your discharge, you have to take some educational classes so that at a time in your life when you need information the most, it's there. So hopefully you won't get back in the same situation. And with that, I formed a nonprofit, Debt Education and Certification Foundation, that provides these educational courses without regard to people's abilities to pay. And over the last 4 years, we've educated over 240,000 individuals who are either considering bankruptcy or going through the process at that moment. And through that experience and through my past experience, I've really seen that people don't have the information that they need, either while they're getting into debt. Once they're in debt, they don't know what to do to get out of it. What are the options available to them? And then if they go through bankruptcy, how to go through that process and then emerge and not get back in the same situation 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road. Really educating people is what it's about. And that's the reason that I wrote the book, is just I saw there's a real need for it. And the book is about providing information. It doesn't say that you absolutely have to do this. Here's the information. I want to empower you or your advisors to make the best choices for you in your specific situation.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our topic this afternoon, financial health in tough times. Our guests are Mitchell Allen, founder, president, and chairman of Debt Education, and founder, president, and chairman of, well, there's a typo there. Let me go back to another piece of paper here that will tell me here. Mitchell Allen, author of A Survival Guide to Debt. He is also...
I'm the president of Debt Education and Certification.
There you go. Thank you very much for that save. Surviving this interview. Okay. And with me in the studio, Valerie McWilliams. She's an attorney, managing attorney for the Champaign office, Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation. And also with me in the studio, Kathy Swedler, consumer and family economics educator, University of Illinois Extension. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite your questions and comments this afternoon for our guests. Join us with a phone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Well, what are the warning signs of trouble? I think Valerie mentioned some of them a moment or two ago. And how do you size up realistically where you are? Kathy, you want to take that question?
I think a lot of people have a good sense when they're starting to get into trouble because they start to really worry about it and be stressed about it. Avoiding opening up bills, avoiding phone calls, those are real significant signs that there's a problem. What we'd really like to see people do is to back up to even before they're stressed, when they know that they have a reduced income or there are unexpected expenses coming in, to take a look at their financial situation.
Okay, and so the phone is ringing and the mail is stacking up on the table. Creditors are calling. The bills are stacking up. You jump when the phone rings. Where do you advise people to begin dealing with creditors? And let's go to Mitchell Allen on this one.
You really have to communicate with your creditors. You've made a great point about avoiding it. We see that a lot. People don't open the mail or don't take the phone call. If it's not going to go away if you avoid it. Call your creditors or take that phone, acknowledge that you owe the debt, take some responsibility for it, and then be as specific as possible about why you can't pay that debt right now. And here's a big one, and it goes back to that piece. Ask for help, whether it be interest rates, payment dates, even the loan amount. Document everything, and then make sure that you follow through with everything you say you're going to do. Banks and lending institutions are hurting just like the rest of us. And if you'll meet them halfway, they will also work with you and really help you in ways that maybe you hadn't thought about.
And Valerie McWilliams, your thoughts?
Well, communication doesn't hurt. except our experience is that it depends a lot on what creditor you're talking about. And some will be willing to work with you. Perhaps a local creditor is going to be willing to work with you. But we have a foreclosure prevention counseling project at our office. It's been very busy in the last year and just gets busier all the time. And our experience has been it's very difficult to, even under the most recent rounds of new regulations that have come out, it's been very difficult to get the banks to redo the mortgages. The servicers are completely backed up. And most of the people that are calling us are in trouble, not because they had predatory mortgages, but because they've lost their job, because they've gone through a divorce, because their financial circumstances have changed dramatically. So there's just no way to get the mortgage rewritten to a point that's going to work for the person. And then by the same token, dealing with like a credit card company, people who have been in default for a long time may be able to work out some advantageous deals on past due debts. People who have been struggling and hanging on by their fingernails and paying each month are finding it harder and harder to get concessions from a credit card company.
Okay. You know, a couple of the things that I heard in our community conversations this summer. One, that the number of foreclosures in central Illinois is on the rise and is running well ahead of 2007 and 2008. And two, homelessness is on the rise. When people come to you, Valerie, and they're at this point where they're facing foreclosure, can you give us some sense of what happens then? They come in and they say, I need some help. What happens?
Well, it depends where they are in the process, but first we require them to line up a significant number of documents, because there are a lot of documents associated with foreclosure. It's a long, cumbersome process in the state of Illinois. And one of the things we do in every one of those cases is go over somebody's budget with them and try to figure out, do they have any discretionary income or what? And, you know, is there any way that this house can be saved? Our unfortunate experience has mostly been that it just, you know, barring some dramatic increase in income or well-timed marriage, it's very difficult to get it to work out right. But then what we do is we try to give people information going forward to help them understand the process, to help them figure out if perhaps they'd be better off trying to sell their house before the foreclosure process is completed, to reduce the amount that they're going to owe afterwards so that at least perhaps they can start with a clean slate. And the foreclosure process does take a long time in Illinois. I think it takes about a year at this point in time. Perhaps not quite that long, but it's very long. So people don't have to feel like they have to move immediately. And there may be other things that they should be doing then with their money as they prepare for the where they're going to have to go next. And so we just try to counsel them through that process.
The one other thing I was going to want to suggest is that before you start making any promises to creditors, whoever they might be, mm-hmm. that you really sit down with somebody that can help you to look at the whole financial situation and make sure that what you're saying you can do, you can follow through and do. Because while it might be feel very good and at the time to say, oh, yes, I will promise to make X number of dollars, you know, for the next few months, when you really look at the whole picture, that may not be your highest priority or it may not be feasible. And then to go back later and say, oh, now I really can't do that, that's a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where do – I'm sorry. Mitchell Allen, you were going to jump
in.
Well,
you know what? I was just going to say that that's a good point. And really prioritizing your debts. Credit card companies are some of the most aggressive, and collection agencies particularly. We heard the horror story in New York just this week, that credit card companies will call, they'll really harass in many cases. Your home and your car, those are secured debts that you must pay before you pay your credit card debts. And getting with somebody and prioritizing your debt, paying your secured debts before you pay your unsecured debts can make some of the difference. It doesn't fix the problem, but at least won't get you into a problem where you're going to be kicked out on the street because you've lost your house or not be able to get to work because your car has been repossessed.
Let's take a call now from a listener who's joining us this afternoon from Bloomington, a listener on line 4. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Right now I'm kind of struggling. My career has gone down the toilet. basically because of the economy and, you know, everybody not buying stuff because I work in a consumer industry. Part of the problem that I've seen now, I'm 52, and all of a sudden now I have a major life change I got to do. And I have no kids. I mean, I don't have a degree in anything worth doing. And it's hard for me to go back to school again and put another 4 years or 5 years or whatever in and may come out and do the same thing. And, you know, I don't, it makes it kind of hard and somebody in my, because I don't see myself ever retiring. Because I'm self-employed. I've been that way for 16 years. So basically everything I've built on is gone. I'm basically dwindling away. So there's a lot of us out there like me. What would you recommend you do? Do you go to school? Do you get a part-time job? What? Do we need to do, basic change of our lifestyle completely to the point where, you know, education is more important than work right now or what?
Okay, good questions. that's a tall list, a long list. Mitchell Allen, where would you work with this gentleman?
Where
would you start?
As I believe Kathy said about making a budget, that is very important. Equifax reported that small business bankruptcies are up 81% this year compared with last year. So, yes, absolutely the small business is being hurt even more than large businesses. I'm not sure of his particular situation. I'm a strong believer in education, but it is a sacrifice. Going into debt may or may not be the right answer, and I don't really have a great answer for him at this point. You'd really take looking at his personal situation, what are his goals and his family's goals, and their current situation.
Okay, listener, you want to follow up?
Yeah, well, no. My situation is I'm only making a couple hundred dollars a week, when I'm used to making a couple thousand a week. And I mean, I have money in the bank right now, but it's got basically all my savings is virtually dried up. And I have some emergency funds, but see, the problem is I'm paying our property taxes and all these other taxes that I, you know, no medical bills, but at the same time. It seems like everybody wants that dollar. You know, it's like there's 12 pieces of pie there, and I'm ended up paying 13 or somehow. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out whether I should just go back to school entirely, get a loan out somewhere, and just reeducate myself on something other than. I mean, I'm trying to find a field of employment. I mean, I'm not looking for a lot of money. I'm just trying to find something I could do for the rest of my life. That's going to be like a fail-safe because the two I've pursued in the last 30, 40 years have not worked. I mean, it's one crisis after another, and it the bottom line is, it's like, do I have to have 15 knowledge of 15 different techniques or different employment practices or something in order for me to survive? It's difficult. When they want to look at you at 52 and say you're too old. Mm-hmm. And if somebody says and calls and says there's no discrimination against age, they're wrong, because I've been looking for over a year, almost a year and a half, and I have not found anything. They're taking me over somebody else, or taking kids that are, you know, college educated or college age over somebody that's adult, even though we're experiencing the same job. I'll get off and listen. Thanks.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what the resources are in Bloomington Normal, but there's probably an entity there that would be like the WorkNet Center here. It's a combination of the Department of Labor and the Workforce Investment Act office, and they do have resources to try to help people who are displaced workers. Mm-hmm. They have some money to help pay for education. I would guess through, I think it's Heartland Community College in Bloomington Normal, that there are a number of certificate programs that might be an option for you to increase your employment potential without a full bachelor's degree. But I think I would start at the counterpart in Bloomington to the office here that is office.
And within every region of the state, there are resources like your community college, United Way, First Call for Help. There's a lot of assistance out there. Extension.
I was going to say, I can't tell you the exact office that would be the counterpart of what Valerie is recommending, but if you'd call the McLean County Extension Office, they would be able to help you look up the resources that would be beneficial to you in Bloomington.
Okay. And if, likewise, if you're in Winnebago County or if you're in Vermilion County.
We have extension in almost every county, and one of the things that we try to do is help people connect with other community resources. So that would be my suggestion. I think you're doing a great job of trying to look ahead. And it's always hard when you're trying to deal with multiple goals, which, you know, both meeting your needs today as well as trying to look ahead and working for quite a while. And, you know, all I can say is I think you're right. A lot of people are in your boat right now, and it's tough.
It is tough. And I was talking with a young man not too long ago who is continuing his education. And he told me when he leaves school, he will have $50,000 in debt. And given the costs of going to school, it's sort of shocking, but yet not surprising. So everybody, I think a lot of folks are, maybe the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, but a lot of folks are struggling.
Fortunately, the Department of Education has just implemented some income-based debt repayment schedules, at least for those loans, that just went into effect very recently because some people are kind of crushed by their student loan debt. And so there are some options now that at least ensure that you can keep enough to live on before you start addressing the debt service. And they also have deferral programs. But you can't defer it forever. You're going to be paying it out of your Social Security after you retire.
Yeah. Mitchell Allen, let's talk a little bit about finding help, whether it's someone, whether it's an agency that is underwritten by donations or government support, tax dollars, or someone who's in the business of providing professional credit counseling. When exactly do you need professional help? What kind of help is available? And what does it cost? What do you want to know from these folks?
Well, once to start looking at it, when you're avoiding the debts, as you said, I think that's a great sort of warning sign, as well as getting collection calls. But also, I hear over and over again people who are paying one debt with another. And the story I hear is I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. If you're doing that, you do definitely need some professional help or to really take a close look at what you're doing. There are several types of organizations out there that can help besides just the immediate needs. Credit counseling agencies, these are nonprofit organizations, and I think most of them have been cleaned up over the last few years. They will help consolidate your debts, and you pay or your unsecured debts. Credit card debt, and you'll make payments over 5 years to repay those debts. There's a lot of talk right now about debt settlement companies. If you're very far behind on your debt, that may be right, but you need to investigate these debt settlement companies because it's sort of the wild, wild west out there, and a lot of attorney generals are looking into debt settlement companies, as well as I think that a very good bankruptcy attorney can also tell you other options that are available to you. Maybe bankruptcy, a Chapter 7 or Chapter 13 may be right for some people, but they'll also be able to tell you if it's not right for you. And bankruptcy laws did change in 2005, so getting a good bankruptcy attorney to look at your situation, to help you create a budget, can often point you in the right direction.
Okay. I want to turn to Valerie now, and under the heading buyer beware, what are your tips for finding someone who can help?
Well, if it's somebody local, I usually just give them names and phone numbers because I know that there's a lot of I think bad information that's available through the internet. If there's a local resource that's available, you can check with other people what their experiences have been. But the key, which has been mentioned several times, is that you want unbiased information, not somebody who's trying to sell you something, somebody who's trying to cream off fees off the top of it. And like, for example, debt settlement companies, a lot of individuals can do the debt settlement themselves. They don't really need anybody to take a fee first to do that for them. The key there is that they need to have a lump sum in hand. And what I try to tell low-wage workers that I work with all the time is when they get their tax refund, a lot of clients that we serve get very large tax refunds in January each year. And with that $3,000 or $4,000, they could clean up maybe all of their credit if they take advantage of that strategic opportunity. And it's not always easy to persuade people to do that because studies that have been done of people with earned income tax credit suggest they want to feel normal for 1 month a year and have some discretionary income and do something fun with their family. But it's a very valuable opportunity to do their own debt settlement. If it's anybody who's eligible for our services, I love nothing better than to have somebody come into my office and work with them on doing that as efficiently as possible.
That's really a great point because debt settlement companies are it is very difficult to find a very good one, and they tend to be very expensive.
I would say that when you're talking to anybody that you really want to make sure that you understand what the costs and the fees are up front and everything should be in writing and you should understand what's written down before you sign anything. It may sound like from an ad that these services are going to be, you know, free or very inexpensive and it's going to solve all your problems. But you have to be aware that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And to kind of go in with a lot of questions.
Okay. And also, I would guess you'd want to ask about qualifications and training and if there's certification, if they're accredited. Those would also be some good questions to ask. Let's take another caller, listener call now. Caller joining us southwest of Champaign, Line 4. Good afternoon.
Hello. I was wondering if someone declares bankruptcy, are there student loans forgiven, or are they still liable for those?
Okay. Mitchell Allen, how about you take that one?
Well, I was about to say we'll let Valerie, the attorney, but I'm not an attorney. I say that several times in the book. But I've talked with hundreds of bankruptcy attorneys across the country. And though it's technically possible to get a hardship to discharge them inside of a bankruptcy, I have yet to talk to an attorney who has actually done it. So maybe it's technically possible, but I don't even know. I have not talked to an attorney who has gotten rid of student loans within a bankruptcy.
Okay. Valerie McWilliams, you're the attorney.
I don't have much to add to that because I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. We at Land of Lincoln have some bankruptcy attorneys on our pro bono panel. And so as we weed through those cases and figure out which ones would actually be beneficial to the applicant for services, and we refer it out. But I do know what Mr. Allen just said is true, that it is very difficult to get student loans discharged in bankruptcy.
Does the listener want to follow up?
Yes. Also, what about the credit cards where you miss one payment and they up your interest sky high to where you can't possibly make it?
Well, as I recall, a new bankruptcy set of reforms just went into effect like in the last week or so.
Right. We have something that are just coming down in Illinois, but also nationally in February that will help with that situation by changing the rules on that. But for right now,
And for if you miss a payment, I think that may still happen. What is changing is like if you miss a payment with another credit card company, a different credit card company can't look at that payment history and necessarily change their interest rates. But historically, credit card companies can do what they want anytime to great detriment to people who are carrying large balances every month. Some of those practices are going to be prohibited as a result of some new laws that are coming down the pike, but there's still potential for people to lose a lot of money in excessive fees.
Mitchell Allen, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, nothing to add to that. It's exactly right. Your terms and conditions that you have, if you miss a payment, they have the right to do that, generally speaking. The new rules are going to have much better disclosure about many of those things, your interest rate, time it's going to take you to pay off. But I think those are all good for the consumer. But if you miss a payment, it is going to, in many ways, be draconian, the things that they're able to do.
Yeah. Listener, anything else?
Yes. On all the shows I've listened to, they've always said you'd be surprised what they'll do to get you to go ahead and pay your credit card payments. But, ask your creditor for lower interest and all that. Well, I've done that, and all I get is a no. They go down at all.
Well, I think your experience is not uncommon. And on the other hand, if you would stop paying it for some period of time, they'd be more willing to negotiate. But that would have other adverse consequences.
Yeah, what a terrible catch-22.
And then people also need to understand what creditors can get from them if they take them to court. People who are senior citizens often just have retirement income or Social Security, and creditors can't actually force them to pay anything out of that. And so that's something they need to weigh into the determination of figuring out which bills to pay first. For somebody who's working and has employment income, in Illinois, they are allowed to take home after taxes $360 a week before any of their wages can be garnished. So anybody who's working under probably about $10 an hour, working a full-time job, probably can't have their wages garnished. So it does give you some more negotiating room when you're dealing with a creditor. But unfortunately, if you're actually in default, then they're going to be more motivated to work with you instead of just trying to keep you kind of hanging on by your fingernails.
Yeah. One of the things that I've noticed in the mail recently is that I'm getting a lot of information from my credit card companies. They're saying, here's the terms. And it's coming all at the same time. And also at the same time, when you sit down and you look at the fine print, it's probably a good thing to do. Maybe it's time to think about not using those cards or making certain to, if you can, pay it off and not get into that spot where you are. And that's easier said than done, I know. But maybe here we could throw out this question. I would throw out this question. What Valerie mentioned some things that credit card companies and creditors can't do. Are there other things that they're prohibited from doing under the law, or that if you speak up, they have to take notice?
Well, you can tell a collection agency not to contact you anymore. Instead of just sort of trying to reason with them and take all those phone calls, you can just tell them not to call you anymore. And then the only time they can contact you after that is if they're threatening – when they actually take you to court, or they say that, okay, now we're going to take you to court. And then that may or may not – they may do it, they may not do it, and it may or may not have adverse consequences depending on if you're exempt from judgment. It's not good for your future credit. If you need to borrow money in the future, it's an issue that you're going to have to deal with. But if it's a question of, do you pay your rent, do you pay your utility bill, do you eat – or do you pay a creditor that keeps harassing you? And then there's also limits, like to when they can't be unreasonable in the way that they contact you. They aren't supposed to contact you at your place of employment or disclose anything to your employer that you're having these financial problems.
Right, and those all come from the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And even though it was passed, I think that was in the late 70s, that really does protect you. And their creditors are supposed to treat you, I think the language actually says, respectfully, which is sort of funny. But you can limit the times, as she said, limit the times and the ways in which creditors contact you. Just tell them. You can also even get damages from them if they're using harassing or abusive or threatening means or, you know, falsehoods like they were doing in New York. Apparently we're doing in New York.
Okay.
So that's what I would suggest is for listeners who really want to deal with their creditors, go out there and look up the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act, and it will tell you what collection agencies can and can't do.
Okay. Last question I have this afternoon is for Kathy Sweedler. In extension, you see a lot of success stories. Maybe you'd leave us with a story of hope in terms of people, you know, turning it around and things looking up.
Well, we do talk to a lot of people who sometimes I think maybe we see people who aren't quite in such severe situations as maybe Valerie might see people. Just we work with different clientele. But where a lot of times people are really looking for assistance in just kind of dealing with this overwhelmingness where I just don't know where to start. I've got mm-hmm. this reduced income, too many bills. And we can just kind of get people to sit down, open up the bills, take a good look at what debt do they owe, where, how can they manage this, where do they have discretionary income, and go from there. And that can really help people, just that process of getting it organized.
Okay. Well, there we will wrap it up. I want to thank my guests this afternoon, Kathy Sweedler. She is a University of Illinois Extension educator, Valerie McWilliams of the Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation, and Mitchell Allen, author of A Survival Guide to Debt. And I also want to thank our community partners in our community conversations on the economy in Champaign, Macon, and Vermilion counties. Our partners, First Call for Help Decatur, United Way of Danville, Family Service of Champaign County, and Community Service Center Rantoul. And continue to listen to AM 584. More special reports and programs on the economy. And connect with us at willconnect.org/economy. We're building a website there of resources. And in addition, we'll have up on that website what we call content now, reports and programs on the economy. And again, my thanks to our guests this afternoon. Thank you all very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.